you. A traveler went throughout the world, and he would go to churches just to see what they're about. And the first church that he went to was in Asia, and he looked, and there was a phone, and it was a red phone. And under the phone was a plaque that said $10,000 a minute. And so he called the pastor over, and he said, "What's this?" He said, "Well," he said, "that's a phone direct to heaven. And if you have enough money and you need to desperately, you can pay the money and you can talk to God." And he said, "Wow, that's pretty expensive." So he would go, and from different countries, he would see on the wall of the church that same thing, $10,000. Finally, he came back to the United States, and he went into a church in Texas. I said, Texas. And he went, he saw that phone, but under it, it said 25 cents a call. He said, "Pastor," he says, "why is it so cheap here?" He says, "Well, you're in Texas now. It's a local call to heaven." And all those from Oklahoma said, "Amen." Talking about traveling, I have been blessed. I went with my sons, Mark and Heath, and to Asia just the last few weeks, and got back last Saturday, and Gwen did such a great job last Sunday morning in church, and we've been talking about loving more and serving more in 2004, and that's something to remember. But the trip to Asia was such an impact, and I've been sharing it with some of you. And, you know, it's just pretty amazing as you get in a different culture away from home and away from your routine of life. You know, we all have a routine and systems to make our life go seemingly better. And we create habits for that. We've talked about that. But to get up, and especially, we were blessed to be able to stay in some pretty nice hotels. And the people of Asia, the whole trip, I mean, we were able to travel from Tokyo, Japan, to Hong Kong for 19 hours. And let me tell you, at my age, sometimes I would like to just stay in the airport and the hotel. But when you got two younger sons, let me tell you, it was like I was on water skis. I was going so fast with those guys. And we went to Hong Kong 19 hours. And let me tell you, we saw we saw a lot of Hong Kong. And then we flew we flew to Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. And we were able to end kind of even at a resort. And every part of the trip, we thought, you know, it's good if we just stay here. Why did we plan more than just right here until we did the next leg of the trip? And then we're like, we would have been cheated if we didn't move on to something better. And the next. And each time we were like, we don't want to leave here. Why did we plan more than just right here? We could stay right here. But the next thing was even better than the one before. In our lives, a lot of times, that's the way it is. We get stuck thinking, you know, I got my system worked out. I get up in the morning, I do this, I do that. I go to work, and I've got system worked out where it's not as bad as if it was a new job because I'm familiar with it, and it's predictable, I can work on it. And at the end of the day, I usually do this and this, and then I go to bed. In 2024, I'm going to encourage you to look at it different as I did last year, and we continue to grow because God has even better things ahead of us than what we've experienced. And if you allow him, because we know, if you don't believe this, it's not John Miller, it's the Bible, that he has given us promises and it's up to us to say amen, so be it to him. Every yes is us determining to allow God to be true and all the voices that speak against his word to be liars. It's up to us. You know, last year we talked about that we're blessed in order to be a blessing. And as Christians, the one thing that we have to realize and we have to remind ourselves, did you hear me? We have to remind ourselves is that man desires unfailing love. We all desire unfailing love. The day that you become a believer in Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with him, hopefully you were taught that God is love. He just doesn't have love. He is love. And that God has died for your sins. And because of that, as you enter into it, it's somebody agreeing to a covenant, a contract. Yes, God, I believe you did that for me. Then the Bible says something that's pretty amazing that sometimes we as even believers sometimes fight with, that we're the righteousness in Christ Jesus. If somebody called you, man, you are righteous, people would go, oh, kind of kick the dirt, not me. It's not because of anything you've done. It's because of what God has done for you. So this morning, as we're talking about being blessed in order to be a blessing, that there's got to be a difference. Let me tell you this. There's got to be a difference between the believer and somebody that is not a believer. And the one thing that I kind of was surprised at when I traveled, and the best part of the whole trip was the people of Asia. But when we got to a place called Vietnam, and I'm in the hotel, and then, you know, just talk. I kind of want to talk to the people. You know, they're kind of like, all you have to do is, I told you, to break the average is just smile at somebody. If you just smile at somebody, sometimes they can't handle it, and their face just explodes. And a lot of times a person that's working knows that they cannot take an interruption unless a customer or a guest wants to talk to them, and then it's all go. So I love it. I call them over to my table, and I go, you know, tell me about your family and stuff. And so they start talking to me, and time again, they just, I don't use the word overwhelmed too, you know, lightly, but it just was so amazing, the smile on these people's faces. I talked to a young lady at a resort, and we stayed there about two nights, and she came up to my table, and her name was Two. Two. She, Two. I said, okay, I got it. Two. T-H-U. And little Two, little Vietnamese lady, she begins to tell me her story that she was an orphan. Lived in an orphanage. Now she's 24 years old. She's married, has a child. And she begins to just tell me about her life. And all the time, she was one tick away from her face exploding. She was so smiling so much. Just happy as you can just. So I caught myself going, man, I'm so sorry that your parents died. What? It's okay. I'm here. This is a beautiful place. Now, here's the tension that I want us to feel. There's something about the culture that you live in that has persuaded you not to say that your life is good. Now, hear me, because I'm one of them. How are you doing? Boy, I'm tired. I bet you've been busy. Boy, I'm overwhelmed. That job is just, what are we looking for? Are we looking for people to go, wow, you are amazing. You're so busy and tired all the time. Because I'm telling you, that little lady that has had so much go against her the first 24 years of her life. So here's the thing. I'm asking around, what's the average income of a person in Vietnam? They say $300 a month. I said, $300 a month? So I thought their largest bill, the dollar to us, would probably be a $100 bill. You know, that's the biggest bill that people carry. In Hong Kong, 500,000. That's right. Vietnamese dong. That's what it's called. 500,000. So we had to get a kind of a learning curve because Mark was tipping people a little bit too much, if there is. So, but this little lady, I thought, I'm going to give her $500,000. It's equivalent to the United States $20. Now, that's a little bit, maybe a good tip, right? I wanted to bless her because I've been blessed, and $20 to her is one 20th of her income a month, if she can get some tips and bring it up to what that $300 a month is, that would be like if you made, I believe, $3,000 a month here in the United States, $36,000 a year. Some of you make 10 times that. But let's say you make $3,000 a month. It would be like someone tipping you around $150. Just to give you the wow factor. She is like, but here's what I realized. The next day, she never left my table. I kind of like that. I didn't have to ask for coffee. She looked at the coffee. She was a team captain. She made it happen. She brought me a French press of coffee. If you didn't know, I like coffee. I mean, she took care of the whole thing. Now, the point I'm trying to make is I gave it to her. So the boys would come down to breakfast and we'd eat and she'd still take care of us and stuff. And I said, is there, let me tell you, I want to do something for you and your family. Let me give you another $500,000. Because she said, that would buy me clothes, shoes. So I thought, $20? Gianni is a big tipper. The influence that's going out, the persuasion of who the giver is. And so she's like, are you kidding me? Now listen, I want you to understand something that just kind of, again, my paradigm of life. I'm giving it to her for such an amazing service, but also I'm giving it to her to help give her something, change her life. The last day that we're there, we're talking, and I said, I hope you were able to buy some clothes. And so she goes, oh, no, Mr. John. She says, thank you so much for all that you've done for me. She said, but I put it in the tip box so that all of my coworkers and I could share it. At that moment, I thought, she is just like every American that I know. Not. To be generous, to be able to look for ways to be a blessing to people takes work on our part. This morning, I want to start a new series, and I'm going to call it The X Factor. And I'll share with you more as weeks go by in the next 3 weeks, and then we'll end with Easter. But I want you to understand that there's voices that try to persuade us, and as we've come off a series called Enlarging Your Capacity. And I touched the last week before I went out of town on the persuasiveness of people around you. We just kind of bring back some thoughts that tie this sermon, next sermon series together is that sometimes somebody can speak that the world is flat and everybody doesn't know, but they go, okay, the world's, they join into an opinion of a persuasion until someone says, no. What we talked about in that last series, things like, I don't wear the opinions of others anymore. I learned to dress myself. How about this one? When you realize your self-worth, you stop giving people discounts. Look at this. 5x5 rule. The 5x5 rule. If it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes worrying about it. Walking in the new you this year. And understanding that you are blessed to be a blessing, but more than important is in building the Christian that you are, the follower of Jesus Christ, there's things that we need to grow up and mature in. People will try to persuade you negatively of things in our culture of just fear, uncertainty, and doubt. This morning, I want to preach a message called The Voice. And just quickly, I want us to just allow God to speak to each one of us. And I've said this before, but the voice behind the voice. I don't know what you're going through in your life. And the voices that are speaking to you of who you are or who you're not. And they're trying to, we all know that Here's a good example. When a new NFL football kicker is trying to kick field goals, and in his head he's missed one and he can't kick. I mean, the coach, I've heard, will bring out the entire team and stand right around him and yell and scream, trying to mess him up so that the day that he's messed up in the past, and all these voices are trying to get him off. Finally, he starts kicking again. He ignores and don't allow the distractions that are around him to influence him of making the field goal. This morning, if Satan showed up in a red rubber suit and a pitchfork and started saying, "You're not all that," you'd be like, "Hey, you're speaking to the hand." But it's the subtle voices of persuasions that come into our life that get us off track a little bit until the day comes that we don't realize it, but we go, "I don't even know where I'm at." I've said this before, if you're lost and you called me and said, "Can you help me get back, let's say, to the chapel?" I'd say, "Where are you?" "I have no idea. Do you know that I can't help you?" But if you say, "Well, the sign says, you know, Camp Bowie," you know, you say, okay. Keep going until you hit I-30 and then you go, you know, east and then you go south or north up to Golden Triangle and we're about a month. I can give you directions. It's a change of direction and over time will get you to the right destination of where the Bible and where the Holy Spirit is guiding us. Do you realize that looking back in our life, that there are times where we go and we say, "How in the world did I get persuaded by those people or by that voice?" When you're in junior high, we think that the answer in all wisdom comes from our peers. Do you remember some of those stories that you're thinking about right now? How stupid were we to think that that guy had all the wisdom and we're going to follow him? What did your mom say? "What? If he wanted to jump off a cliff, would you jump with him?" Did anybody hear that? Let's see your hand if your mom ever said that. I think they gave that to all moms as a, you know. "Mrs. Smith, you had a baby. Here's your little instruction list. If you jump off a cliff, what do you..." Okay. When we get into high school, everybody over 20 is stupid. They'd have no clue. All of our peers are people that we run with that are going to tell us, "I tell you the newest thing." Those old people don't know what they're doing. Have you ever talked to someone that is dating someone that you know is wrong for them? They just are going to mess up. "Why are you dating her, him?" And they go, "I don't think you know what you're doing. Have you seen his car?" And we go, "His car?" Have you ever, or can you remember back when you had your first job and somebody that was older came and said, "Hey, let me give you some advice about saving and stuff." And you go, "Savings? I'm finally going to get shoes every month." Every stage is going to bring challenges of influence in our life. And as we come to know Christ, it is amazing that we stay focused on his word. We stay focused. That's our priority in our life. It's going to take work on every one of our parts. This morning I want you to see in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Isn't it exciting to read the word of God together and to learn together as we're maturing in Christ? This is a passage of scripture that I've been reading, and I just want to share it with you today on persuasion. Let me tell you that there's Israel, and at this point in history, there's two kingdoms. Israel's been divided. There's a southern kingdom called Judah, and their king is called Jehoshaphat. And then there's a northern kingdom called Israel, and their king is called Ahab. Ahab is a knothead. He's the not good king. He's not following God. He's deciding on what he's going to do on his own. Jehoshaphat, the southern kingdom of Judah, is a great king. He's come into to reign, and he has done so many reforms. He's kicked out all the idol worship and different gods that were in the community and said, no. Our God is God. The God that brought us out of Egypt, the God that is a God of our forefathers, is our God. God has blessed him. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, I want you to see this. It says, now Jehoshaphat had great wealth. This is the godly king. Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. Now remember, alliance and influence go together. They had become family out of marriage. Verse 2. Some years later, Jehoshaphat went down to see Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him and the people with him and urged him to attack Ramoth Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Rahab Gilead? That was a border town of Israel. So he's asking, hey, why don't you go with us to war? Now the godly king Jehoshaphat replied, I am as you, and my people as your people. We will join you in the war. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first see counsel to the Lord. In other words, this is an equivalent to saying, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God if it was smart? See, for us New Testament believers, it says in James that ask God for wisdom and he'll give it to everyone that asks. So here's Jehoshaphat. King Ahab, have you asked God if we should go to war? In verse 5, it says, so the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or shall we not? Go, they answered, for God will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom can inquire of? In other words, is there none other prophets that are on your payroll that are just going to be yes men? That like you and are afraid of you, or they want your good standing, so they're going to say whatever you want. Is there anybody else that's going to speak the truth to you, even if it's something that you don't like? Verse 7, the king of Israel, listen to this. So the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one though we can acquire that through whom we can acquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Why does the king hate him? Look at this. Because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micah, the son of Emeth. Anyone that you avoid because they don't say what you want to say, might be the person that you need to listen to the most at that point. Just saying. Now listen, can't we read this story and we can see what's going to happen in advance? But why is it for us individually that we have to see it in the rearview mirror after it's already happened to us? In verse 8 it says, so the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micah, son of Emeth, at once. Now, skip to verse 12 for time. The messenger who had gone to summon Micah said to him, now listen, just for a minute. The messenger is going to go and go, you better say what's right, Micah. The messenger who had gone to summon Micah said to him, look, the other prophets, without exception, are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. Tell him what he wants to hear. But Micah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can only tell him what my God says. When he arrived, the king asked, Micah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or shall I not? Now listen, look at what he says. He says, attack and be victorious, he answered, for they will be given into your hand. But verse 15, the king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to me to say nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then Micah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have not a master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Look at verse 25. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micah and send him back to Amon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash the king's son, and say, this is what the king says, but the fellow, put this fellow in prison. What he does, what he's doing is so that the soldiers don't hear it. And give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. In verse 27, Micah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, all you people. Now look at verse 29. This is very important. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear royal robes. Does anybody see anything wrong with that? The prophet of God that I've just put in prison that said I shouldn't go, he don't know anything. But just in case, I'm going to disguise myself. You, other king, you wear the royal robes. This is so obvious when we read this. He knows that the prophet is right. There's sometimes people in our life that are speaking truth that we just don't want to hear. It says, so the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. This, listen, in verse 30 it says, now the king of Aram had ordered his chariot commanders, do not fight, this is the enemy, do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king of Israel. See, nobody knows this, but the enemy has said, you just, all of our soldiers are going to fight towards the king of Israel. When the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, this is the godly king that's in the royal robes, they thought, what do you think they thought? That he's the king of Israel. And that's exactly what it says. So they turned and attacked him, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God drew them away from him. For when the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel, they stopped pursuing him. Do you think that Jehoshaphat, the godly king, is thinking, what in the world was I listening to Ahab for? I almost got killed by doing what this cray-cray said to do. But the story isn't over. Verse 33, but someone drew his bow at random. Now, just hear that word. Just random. See, we defend our bad decisions. Oh, nothing's going to happen. It'll be okay. I'll be careful. And it says, he drew his bow. Someone just drew their bow at random and hit the king of Israel. He's in disguise. Nobody even knows he's the king. Hit the king of Israel between the breastplates and the scale of armor. He's got the best armor on, but the arrow goes exactly to where it should go to kill him. It says this, the king told the chariot driver, wheel around to get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. All day long the battle raged, and the king of Israel propped himself up in the chariot facing the Arameans until evening. Then at sunset he died. It says, goes on to say that Israel and Judah lost many men and did not take the city. It's almost like a subnote. Listen to it again. Israel and Judah lost many men and they did not take the city. The objective of the war was not won. Many men lost their lives. And you go back and you read that and you read that, and no matter how many times I read it, you just go, what were they doing? They were hearing advice, but they weren't taking the right advice. And they wanted to go so bad, they wanted to collect people, these other prophets on the payroll, to say, it's okay. To hedge his bet, to be safe and cautious, the king of Israel's even going to disguise himself and to boot, say to the other king, I want you to put on the royal robes so that everybody will have the target on your back. Let me give you some observations. As we grow in Christ and there's people that are around us, that we can walk in the freedom of walking in love and knowing that God is our Father. But listen, so many times other people's influence just can be a little bit, hey, it's okay. when we know that it's not okay. Observation one, Ahab lost his life because he listened to the wrong voices and distanced himself from the right voices. He would not listen. Now listen to this observation. Careful won't compensate for wisdom and obedience. You and I both have watched people lose their marriages, their financial security, lose their freedom, lose the best years of their life because they listened to wrong voices. The observation of that, you have to realize as well as me, that we come to grips with there's implications that follow. What we don't want to hear is usually what we need to hear. Who we don't want to hear from is generally who we need to hear from the most. When advice comes from someone with something to gain from the advice, get a second opinion. Let me say that again. When someone gives you advice, when advice comes from someone who's something to gain from giving you that advice, get a second opinion. An alliance equals influence. What and who you're listening to will influence what you do. This morning, this message is also for the Christian, not just for the new believer, but for the mature believer. And this morning, as I was praying and again preparing this message, a voice, which I can say, I don't know, I know where it came from, the Holy Spirit, and said this: as all of us are learning and growing in God, that we have to be careful not to become you that. No, and you've been the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. The older brother said to his father after the prodigal son came back home, you know the story, he just quickly, let me summarize it, is the older brother had something in his heart. I've done this, I've been obedient all my life to you, father, and you haven't even given me a goat. And now the prodigal son, so to speak, your son comes home and you kill the fatted calf and you welcome him back. You give him a robe, you give him a ring, you give him sandals. What about me? Listen, when we hear a story as that story in the Bible, that parable, as a negative, we don't want to be the prodigal son. Or we don't want to be the older brother. And we love understanding the prodigal son came home with acceptance. But hear me. In the context of this message about speaking and having voices influence us, the longer that you're in church and you're maturing in God, it's easy to look at somebody that has received grace and go, I don't like that. I've served God all my life. And I don't know if he should, well, maybe I'll give him grace in the future, but not so much now. He needs to earn it. And when I'm praying today, it's not the person that gets that initially. It's that person that listens to that person. And it becomes something that can be spread. If you're following me, let me explain it this way. There's somebody that says, well, I don't know about that person in the church or that person in that other church. Or I don't believe that church is doing right. And that persuades other people to go, huh, I'm right there with you, brother. And stand saying, no. I want us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in correction. In a day where we know that God's freedom and God's love is for us, it is for other people too, not just us. That gives us the ability to stand when the storm comes, that our God's going to love us and not just us. For next week, I want you to contemplate and answer some of these questions. Number one is, who are you listening to? Maybe this afternoon, maybe in the morning, for me, when I'm drinking coffee in the morning and I'm sitting there, ask yourself, who are you listening to? Just write down some people that maybe you'd say, well, I listen to that person, I listen to that person. Let me tell you this way. You could be, some people have an IV hooked up to their vein of CNN or Fox News. And they don't realize that the constant talking to them has influenced them and persuaded them that some people are just what do you want. Can I remind you, you can hate the sin, but love the sinner? Number two, who do you need to quit listening to? Number three, or let me go on. Who does your spouse wish you would quit listening to? Or who does your mom and dad wish you would quit listening to? Because sometimes in your own heart you go, well, I'm not doing it. Who would they say? Just kind of bring you back. The third question, who should you be listening to, the groups that you're listening to? Is it the church? Is it the Word? Have you been in the Word of God? And I'm not here to condemn you. You've got to read the Bible through in a week. No. But are you in the Word of God? If you're not in the Word of God, then the Word of God can't influence you for the good. Number four, what do you want to hear? Let me say it again. What do you want to hear but need to hear? What do you not want to hear? Let's say it that way. What do you not want to hear but you really need to hear? And the last one is, whose advice are you resisting because you just don't like the person giving it? Do you know that there is speakers and evangelists and pastors, that there's people that won't listen to them because of the sound of their voice? Boy, his voice bothers me. Or her voice sounds like a man. Can I in all love tell you, get over it. Because you and I both will come to realize that truth is truth. And when someone speaks into your life, again, understand that's what the Word of God is for, to filter out all those things that don't line up with the Word. It changes the way that we do life. It gives us a way to smile when everybody else is frowning. We need to be different than the orphan that's in Vietnam that has no faith. Do you hear me? Can you hear me? If I can see a person, a little lady that has really no reason to smile, but inside of her, she's come to the realization, I can smile. How much more should a person that knows the love of God in their life be able to smile and tell other people, just you don't have to be an attorney and defend God. Just tell him what God has done in your life. And if that doesn't put a smile on, then who are you listening to? It's a whole new way of doing life. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, you are wonderful to us. And sometimes we need to be reminded of how much you do love us and how much you have blessed us. And Father, that we do not allow the culture that we live in, God, the people that are around us that love us, they mean the most to us. But God, when we hear your word, Father, it puts us in the right direction. And if we just stay the course, over time, we'll reach that destination that you have for us. Father, by faith, faith cometh, God, not by sight. And it isn't something of feelings. But God, we go on the word, and faith is being sure of the things we hope for and certain of the things we do not see. Even though we don't see, Father, we have faith. We believe in your promises are for us. And then we declare yes and amen. So be it. Father, today, as a church, as we reach people in our community, individually, as we go to work and we go to restaurants and wherever we are, Father, Axiom Coffee, God, when we're in our community, when people come in, that, Father, there's a godly influence. Father, help us to speak out of our mouth the things that you would speak to people that so desperately need hope. In your name, God, I pray this. And everybody in agreement with that say, amen, amen. Our God is good. Just a few weeks from now is Easter. And they've done research that says that people will come on Easter Sunday if someone just invites them. I believe this year that our church is going to invite them to come. And I'll promise you, I'll preach a message that is of love, and it'll give them a chance to make Jesus Christ Lord of their life. Why don't you stand with me? This morning, in a few seconds, I'm going to dismiss you. Remember who you are in Christ, and don't let influences come in and tell you different. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go get them.